Take your Bibles, if you would, Luke chapter 24. We're going to finish up Luke chapter 24, and if we have time, we're going to go over to Acts chapter 1 and look at a few verses there. So last week, we talked about a meeting that Jesus had with his disciples where he told them that everything needed to be fulfilled in the books of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning him. He opened up their minds so that they could understand it. And then he said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you, so you stay here in Jerusalem until that promise is kept, until you're endued with power from on high. Don't go out and start on this thing I've called you to until you get that power. So we start in verse 50 tonight where the Bible says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. So they went out to the Mount of Olives, a place that they often visited, a place of prayer for Jesus and his disciples. I don't even think at this point the disciples realized it was the last time that they were going to go. When we get over to the book of Acts, where Luke writes about this same event, the disciples asked Jesus, said, hey, are you going to set up your kingdom now? They still thought he was going to set up his earthly kingdom, even at this point. But I don't think they realized it was going to be the last time that they would be able to visit this place or any place with Jesus. And I think he just lifted up his hands and he began to bless them. I've often wondered if he just gave them a general blessing or if he called them by name. If he just went down the list and said a word to each of them. Again, I don't know. But the Bible says, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now again, in the book of Acts, the Bible says he was caught up in the clouds. What a sight that must have been for his disciples. To be there with him, blessing them, asking God to bless them, the ministry that he'd imparted to him, and then to just see him go up in the clouds. Now, we're not going to be here to see it, but one day that's going to happen to us. I mean, the graves are going to open. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I had a person ask me one time, why is that? I said, well, they have further to go than we that are alive because they have 6 feet further to go. So they're going to get a head start, and then we which are alive. I've often wondered if we'd be able to look around and say, oh, hey, there's Brother Jack, and there's Brother Jeff, and there's Brother Gary. We're all going up in the air together. Again, it's going to be sudden. I don't think the world's going to see it at the rapture, but I just wonder if we'll be able to see those that are joining us as we go to be with the Lord. But he was carried up into heaven, and the Bible says, and they worshiped him. Of course, what else would they do but worship him? They begin to praise him. The word worship means to direct your love toward a person. And so to direct your love toward the Lord. And so they began to direct their love toward Jesus. I just wonder if Peter cried out as he saw the Lord going up, Jesus, I love you. Wonder if John said, Master, I love you. I just wonder if they shouted after him as he rose to the air. I mean, say, why would you think that? Well, they were people just like us. What would we do? I think if I was there, I'd want to say one more thing to him as he departed into heaven. But they worshiped him, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So they went back to the place that he told them to wait, and they went back with joy in their hearts. They were waiting for the promise. And as they waited, in verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. What a story they had to tell. Can you imagine as they went back to Jerusalem, as they went back to the other disciples that weren't there with them on the Mount of Olives as Jesus went into heaven, and they tried to describe to them what happened as Jesus went in the air, caught up in the clouds. What a time of blessing and praising God. And so Luke ends his gospel with those verses about Jesus being caught up into heaven. Now turn over to Acts chapter 1. And we're just going to read a few verses, and I'm going to make a couple comments on, because both the book of Luke and the book of Acts were written by Dr. Luke, they're connected. I mean, as Luke ends his gospel, he begins the book of Acts. He says in verse 1, "The former Titus have I made, O Theopolis." Theopolis was, that name means lover of God. A lot of people think that he was writing to everybody that loved God. I sort of think he was writing to an individual. I think there actually was a Theopolis that loved God, and Luke was writing him. He said, "The former Titus have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." And so Luke was just reminding this one that he was writing to, hey, you've already got my first book, my first piece of writing, the thing that we know as the Gospel of Luke. And Luke tried to spell out in the Gospel of Luke in the chronological order of all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day that he was taken up. Now, that's where he ended the Gospel of Luke. We just read the last few verses in chapter 24. And he gave instructions to his disciples before he was carried up into heaven. Now, notice verse 3. "To whom," talking about these same disciples, "also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Christ showed himself alive to the disciples. Again, we remember the first time. We talked about it a couple weeks ago in the upper room. Thomas wasn't there. The disciples were there Sunday night, Resurrection Sunday. And he appeared in the upper room alive. He said, "Hey, come." They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said, "Hey, come and touch me. If you want to, put your fingers in the holes in my hands and the holes in my feet and my side. I'm flesh and blood." I say blood. I don't know if he had blood in him. A couple weeks ago when I said that, I went home. I got to thinking, I wonder if Jesus had any blood left in his body. I don't know. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. Don't you chase it either. Just listen for the next couple minutes, and you can think about it when you go home. And he said, "Hey, give me something to eat. I'll show you. Give me some fish." And they did. And so he showed himself alive for 40 days after the resurrection. He was with them, and we read about different accounts where he showed himself to the disciples, proving that he was alive, teaching them more about the kingdom of God. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them," now this is just what we talked about last week, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Again, Luke starting where he, in Acts, where he left off in the Gospel of Luke. He commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until you get that power. He said, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They wouldn't have to wait long. It wouldn't be long. He was going to keep that promise. Now, verse 6 is, I believe, where they were on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was just about to go up into heaven. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" I mean, even at this point in time, the disciples were thinking, well, he's going to set up an earthly kingdom. He's going to restore Israel to its glory days when King David ruled and when King Solomon ruled. He said, "Lord," and they said, "Lord, are you going to do that now?" And he said unto them, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." What Jesus said, hey, don't worry about that. That's not your concern at this point in time. Only God knows when he's going to restore the kingdom. That's not your job. That's not what you need to be concerned about now. And by the way, I know the signs of the times are pointing to the last days. But too many Christians spend too much time thinking about the last days instead of doing what Jesus told his disciples to do, go out and tell people about Jesus. Now, the last days are coming. We know they're coming. I believe they're closer than they've ever been. But don't get so fixated on the last days that you lose sight of what we've been left here to do, and that's to tell other folks about Jesus. So notice what he says in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. You start right where you are, and then you spread out from here. You just start right here in Jerusalem. You tell people about me here in Jerusalem, and then you go into Judea and Samaria, and then you go to the uttermost parts of the world. And verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Again, just what we talked about in Luke. Went up into heaven in a cloud. And while they look now Luke's going to add a few details here that he didn't add in the Gospel of Luke. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why standing ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hey, he's coming back. Two angels were there to witness to the disciples. And I think it was a mild rebuke. Hey, quit standing around here looking into heaven. You're not going to see anything else. He's gone. Get busy. He's coming back. He's coming back. So get busy doing what he told you to do. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, Sabbath days journey. Now, just one other comment before we close tonight. You know, the Gospels were written with a different perspective in mind. The Gospel of Matthew was written to present Jesus as the King of the Jews. The Gospel of Mark was written to present Jesus as the suffering servant. The Gospel of John was written to present Jesus as the Son of God. Now, again, there's no conflict in this different perspective. I mean, there are parables and there are miracles and there are sayings of Christ that are in, you know, several Gospels. And so there's no conflict based on the perspective that God had the writers of the Gospels present Jesus from. Now, the book of Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man. He often used that title for himself in the book of Luke. We talked about it as we ran across it. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In various times in the Gospel of Luke. And I just want just take a minute to tie the book of Luke and the book of Acts together. Now, they were written by the same person. Luke presented Jesus as the Son of Man. A man, God, he was God, but he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Worked the miracles that he did, witnessed as he did, taught as he did, preached as he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus did. He was our example. Now, the book of Acts picks up right where the book of Luke leaves off, because the book of Acts tells the story of men that were filled with the Holy Ghost, that did works just like Jesus did. In fact, he told them. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Said that to the disciples, says that to us. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works then these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The same power that empowered Jesus to do what he did while he walked the face of the earth as a man, God as God, but as a man, the same power that empowered him empowers us. It empowered the disciples. And that's why Jesus said, hey, don't you get started until you get that power. You stay right here. And we know from Acts chapter 2, it was after 10 days in the upper room of prayer that the Holy Spirit descended on them, came as a rushing mighty wind, flame, tongues of fire, and they went out on the day of Pentecost in the power of the Holy Spirit. They preached in languages they did not know. I mean, God had people understand, these fishermen and this tax collector and this zealot that made up these disciples. And 3,000 people were saved and baptized, not because the disciples had been with Jesus, not because they were extraordinary speakers and their presentation was excellent, although I'm sure, we read Peter's sermon in Acts. But the reason they saw the results that they did, not only on the day of Pentecost, but all the way through the book of Acts, the disciples, the Apostle Paul, Philip, I mean, just all of them, is because they had the power of the Holy Spirit on their life. And that same power is available to us. And again, we talked about it. We need to put it on. We need to put it on. We need to dress ourselves in that power. And then we need to go out and we need to start in our Jerusalem, which is the area right around us, and our Judea, which is a little bit further. Maybe, Brother Clint, where you drove on Sunday might have been your Judea. And then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And again, we do that by the missionaries we support. But we need to be busy telling people about Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And again, it's possible. Don't say, well, I can't do that. You can't. But the Holy Spirit sure can. All he needs is a vessel. All he needs is a tongue, a mouth, something that he can use and control, and he can accomplish great things. So let's give him ourselves. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight.